you so much for leading us this morning. Normally, this is when we dismiss kids to go down to Children's Church, but this is a fifth Sunday of the month. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if I knew that till this morning. So the kids are going to stay with us. We don't have something specifically for them, but I think we have some coloring sheets that if you are an adult and get really, really bored while the guy in front is talking, go ahead and go grab that, and your kids can follow along to the message. So a couple weeks back, we were in the middle of a sermon series that we're looking at the seven Hebrew words for praise, and one of those words for praise was Barak, and it means to kneel. Now, if you were here, and if you remember that far back, you know that at the end of that service, we brought up DJ, who shared with us how God was teaching him to kneel in worship through one of the hardest things in life that he was going through. And it was great to be able to hear that. It was hard to hear, but it was powerful. And at the end of that, we asked DJ, is there anything we can practically do to help you as you're going through this? And he shared with us that he's going to be moving into this new apartment, and he could use a few things in that apartment. Pretty much anything that an apartment would need, he could use, right? So then he later that week went on a trip to New York and already planned a trip. I'm having a squirrel moment right now. It's snowing. Wow. Okay, all right, back here. Back here, full attention. Happens to me as well. Wow. So we asked DJ what he could use, right? And he said he could use just about everything. Went on this trip to New York, and within the week while he was gone, you guys as a church committed to giving everything he would need. I don't know if you saw that in the midweek, but if you don't check your email, everything he would possibly need. Completely furnished. Completely furnished. It was exciting to be able to exchange some texts with him while he was in New York. Hey, do you want this size bed, that size bed? Do you need this? Do you need that? And he was just overwhelmed by the generosity in this church. So on behalf of him, I want to thank you. Okay? And on behalf of me, I want to thank you. It is so good as a pastor to see a church be church for their neighbors. And in this case, our neighbor was DJ. What a generous church you guys are. I've noticed that in the last 14 years. DJ's apartment life completely furnished. Okay? All that he needed. What would it look like for our spiritual lives to be completely furnished? To have all that we needed? Could we do that on our own? No. I won't even let you try and answer that. No, we couldn't. But in this group of people that is sitting here today and those that call First Church home that aren't here, God has given us everything we need to be completely furnished in our spiritual life. Catch that. In this church, whether they're sitting in here today or they call First Church home, God has given us everything we need to be completely furnished in our spiritual life. I'll explain what I mean in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we pause to come before your throne. We don't take it lightly that we can come before the God of the universe and converse with you. We recognize it's because of your son's sacrifice that we can do that, and we are humbled by that. Would you help us this morning? Listen to what you have to say to us. Would you help us hear with your ears and see with your eyes? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we are officially kicking off our fall ministry season. Ignore the snow that is falling. This is still fall. This means today we're going to do a dine and dash. Now, if you don't know what that is, dining means we eat. Okay? So after service, we are going to eat. There's going to be people who help prepare food. It's going to be breakfast for lunch. It's awesome. If you don't like breakfast for lunch, stick around anyways, and I'll eat your pancakes. Okay? While people are making the foods, while the cookers are cooking, there's going to be dashers who are dashing through the snow or slowly walking, heavily bundled up with their snow gear on. They are going to be walking the neighborhood a short mile and a half loop, and their prayer while they walk is going to be, God, show me this neighborhood with your eyes. Okay, give me your heart for our neighborhood. We are a commuter church. That means there's probably like three families that live within a mile radius of the church, and the rest of us drive from all over the place to get here. Okay, so most of us don't know what's around the building. We come, we park, we walk in, we worship, we go back out, we go back to our houses. But there is a neighborhood around us that has a lot of people living here. So our dashers are going to walk around, and I don't know how many people they'll interact with. Let's be honest, it's cold, it's wet, they're probably going to be inside this morning. But they're going to pray while they walk, okay? So we've got people who will be dining, which will be all of us. We've got people who will be dashing, and we'll eat when they get back, so don't think you get a head start. And we're also going to do a ministry fair. We've got six or seven ministries that will be represented out in the meeting area, the foyer, the whatever we want to call it, that will be highlighting different ways that you can grow, that you can get involved here at the church. Now, for those who have been in church for a long time, your first thought might be, oh, they're trying to rope me in again. Amen. Hey, yeah. Jason grew up in a church. He was bounced on the knees of some of you when he was little upstairs. And when we talk about doing a ministry fair, he may think, oh, that just means they're short on volunteers. They just want me for my warm body. I want to tell you, this ministry fair is not about that, okay? This ministry fair is an opportunity to completely furnish us, spiritually speaking, okay? To completely furnish us. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul is writing about the unity in the body of Christ. In chapter 4, he writes about leading a life worthy of your calling as Christians. He writes about living humbly, gently, and patiently with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of our love for one another. He says this in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. He says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Now, a few sentences later, Paul starts talking about certain gifts that God has given the church. And he says this in 4, verses 11 to 13. He writes, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, this is a good passage to speak on when we're having a ministry fair. Because we could keep it as simple as, hey, we have opportunities for you to be equipped to grow and to do the work of the ministry. And we could stop there, right? And it'd be a good sermon, it'd be short, and we'd have breakfast in about 10 minutes. And there'd be many sermons that have been preached like that. But see, I was thinking, do we do that, or do we dig a little deeper today? And I found a couple of what I think are just gold mines in this short text. Found two words or two phrases that just rose to the top this past week. The word equip and the word build up, or the words build up. Okay, equip and building up. These are found in verse 12, but we'll start with verse 11. Paul writes, now these are the gifts that Christ gave the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors or the shepherds, and the teachers. Now if you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, shoot, I don't think I'm gifted in any of those. Well, where do I fit? Well, thankfully, this isn't an exhaustive list, okay? A couple other times, Apostle Paul writes other letters, one to a church in Rome, one to a church in Corinth, and he lists off other gifts that are part of the church as well. He says there's gifts of miracles, gifts of healing, helping others, leadership, gifts of speaking in unknown languages, and gifts of interpreting said unknown languages. There's gifts of faith, gifts of service, gifts of encouragement, of giving, the gift of showing kindness. So you're bound to fit into one of those. But in Ephesians 4, what Paul is highlighting is the gifts that were necessary for that infant Ephesian church, for this church that was just starting off. And he knew that they would need apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. So he said, these are the gifts that God has given you in your church. And then he says, this is what those gifts are for. Verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church the body of Christ. Equip and build up. The Greek word for equip is, and I'm going to say it wrong, and I'm going to say it wrong multiple different ways, but it is katartismos. Okay, I think it's right up there. It's on the top. Okay, can somebody say it better than me? No? Okay, we're going to go with that then. Katartismos, that's the Greek word for build up that's used in this passage. It's only used like that once in the entire New Testament. Now, the word on the bottom, katartizein, is the word it comes from. It's its root word. Hang with me for just a second. This is going to make sense, okay? That bottom word, katartizein, is used back in biblical days for surgery, for setting a broken limb, or for putting a joint that is out of place back into place. It was used in politics for bridging together opposing factions so that they could govern together. In the New Testament, it's used of mending nets in Mark chapter 1, or of disciplining an offender until they are restored to the fellowship of the church. That's Galatians chapter 6. The basic meaning of this word is that we're going to bring somebody, some person, into a condition in which he or she ought to be. Okay? The word means to make right, to bring to completion by restoring. That's what this bottom word means, katartizein. It paints this beautiful picture of what the church should be, all right? Brushstrokes of healing and mending and unifying and restoring. Now, the top word has echoes of those, but it has another meaning as well. The responsibility is to katartismos, to equip God's people to do his work. This word on top, katartismos, means complete furnishing. Complete furnishing. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, their job is to work towards a complete furnishing of the people in the church, to give them all they need to do God's work. It's like DJ's apartment. If he needs to open a can, he can because somebody gave him a can opener. If he needs to warm up some leftovers, he's able to do that because somebody bought him a toaster oven. If he needs a place to lay his head at night, he can because somebody bought him a brand new full pillow top mattress and box spring this past week. He's got everything he needs to live apartment life. This text is saying, Paul is saying, in your church, Ephesus, you've got everything you need to live a complete spiritual life. You can be completely furnished. Does somebody need to learn how to pray? There's people in the church who can teach that. Does somebody need to learn how to generously give? There's people in the church who can teach that. Does somebody need to know how to dig deeper into Scripture? Say it with me. There's people in the church who can teach that. Now understand this. This isn't Paul saying there's five people who will teach you as individuals to go home at night and pray by yourself and do a Bible study by yourself and give generously by yourself. We need to do those things by ourselves, absolutely. But there is a community focus in this text that we cannot miss. Equipping and building up. That community focus is in verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. To do his work and build up the church. That word build up practically means the act of one person promoting another person's growth. One person promoting another person's growth in their spiritual walk. So when you're building somebody up, you are helping them grow in their faith. So there's people in the church, not just one super pastor, not just one super board, not just one set of paid staff. There's people in the church who are equipped to build other people up so that they can build other people up, so that they can build other people up. This is disciples making disciples who make disciples. This text is saying that we can be, or we can work towards, a complete furnishing of our faith. That's what it's talking about. I can say that confidently because that's how Paul writes. You look in verse 13, which we'll read, but he uses words like mature, full, and complete. So the question is, and it's the Sunday school answer that's always right, okay? So you know this one. The question is, who is the example who is this perfect, mature, full, completely furnished person that we should emulate? Say it with me. Jesus. Right. You can't get that one wrong. Paul wrote about it in verse 13. This will continue, this equipping, this building up will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This equipping and building up will continue until we are come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Let me give you the Pastor James International version of that. It's this. Christ has given the right people to each church to fully furnish, to give all you spiritually need to each other so that you all can push each other to grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. This is why we're doing a ministry fair. Not just so we can get warm bodies to fill spots. No, we're doing this to offer opportunities for you to grow, to be grown, and to grow other people. We're given this opportunity so that you have a chance to continue to play a vital part in the work God is doing here on the corner of Ash and Cortland and in your neighborhoods and blocks where you live. Christ has given the right people to each church to fully furnish, to give all you spiritually need to each other, so that you can all push each other to grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. He writes, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the shepherds, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This is why we do a ministry fair today, to kick off our fall ministry season. Now, I could very easily say, okay, go sign up, right? And we could finish like that, but I don't want to do that. I want to invite up, actually I'm going to do two things. I'm going to invite up any of the people who are leading these ministries, who are going to be by those tables that are going to be talking with you. I'm going to invite them up, and they're going to share two things. They're going to share what ministry they are overseeing that they are helping equip you guys in, and they're going to share one way in which their ministry can help equip you to grow in your faith or to help grow others in their faith. Okay, so anybody that is going to be leading a table, if you don't know who that is, I shot you an email earlier this week. Go ahead and come on up. While they're coming up, I want to have the Dine and Dashers, whoever that's going to be, go get your coats. And if you have kids that are going to be walking with you, go get them and then come back in, and we will we'll dismiss you. We'll pray for you and dismiss you in just a moment. Okay, so we've got a few people who are up here.
Chosen people or anything?
I can say
anyone,
that.
Yeah, say that.
Okay. Dine and Dashers are not pre-chosen people. They're anyone who wants to go. Did I say it right?
Yeah, that was great.
Okay, perfect. Not pre-chosen.
Basically, if you want to leave the service early, go get your coat.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay, so we're going to start over here. Your name, what ministry you're overseeing. Okay, and what's one way, if somebody comes and talks to you, that you can say, well, this is how you'll be equipped, this is how you'll train others, and you have to answer both of them, that was great English, both of those questions in a minute or less.
So, Jeremy Hands is my name. I'm over the discipleship ministry, and kind of two ways, but together. We have growth groups and we have small groups, which I can explain later. But basically ways that you can interact with another group of people to both grow and to encourage others in their growth.
Very good. Thank you, Jeremy.
I'm Christy, and I will be at the missional outreach table. And missional outreach, when James asked me this question, I sat for a minute and I thought, man, when you're being equipped and you're growing in the likeness of Christ, what missional outreach is your opportunity to go, to love your neighbor, to actually serve. So, yeah, that's what missional outreach is.
Very good. Thank you.
I'm Tim. I lead the worship ministries here. And outside of the very practical hands-on skills that you can learn with leading worship, in order to lead worship, you need to have a deeper understanding of what worship is. So that's another thing that you guys will learn.
And Tim, do people worship every Sunday here?
I hope so.
So your team helps lead us in worship also? Okay, thanks. We're good. Jason?
I'm Jason with Member Care, which is kind of a catch-all for everything that doesn't fit someplace else. And so some of the things within that includes our ushers and our greeters. We will equip you with a name tag. So if you have a tendency to forget who you are, it's a perfect ministry for you. Also, we can equip you. We've got to sign up for our prayer network. I know many of you are a part of that already to support the body and our community when there are particular prayer needs. If you're not on that and would like to be, come see me. And then also, I'm answering this like a politician. I'm getting three answers to one question.
All in 1 minute. Well done.
Exactly, right? Our Discover class. This is kind of a great resource, whether you've been here for 40 years or 40 minutes, and many of you have been through this already, but help to understand who we as a church are better and how God has wired you. So it's part of this, a whole equipping thing. Help you understand how God has designed you and where some of these places may be a good fit for you. We're offering our next session next Sunday, the
6th
of October. 6th? Is that it? And it'll be about 11 right after the worship service. We'll have a sign-up sheet there. So if you haven't been through that yet, please join us.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Connie.
And we are part of fellowship. And it takes two people, at least, to be in fellowship. So you can't do fellowship alone. Connie.
You got to do it together.
How do you define fellowship?
I define fellowship as all of us together in the same boat. Okay, that's funny. We're the fun committee. We are the people around here that give you good food and reasons to laugh and get together and do things that build up the church, build up us, build up our bodies. Like, I've been cracking eggs, and Dorothy over here has been doing pancakes, and we're going to build you up so you can go out and love the world and be salt and light and bring people back loving Jesus.
Hi, I'm Donna, and I chair the facilities section. We maintain things in the church body and out in the yard. We want to provide a beautiful setting for people to worship, a safe place for people to come and meet. And in doing this, we broaden our look out to other people who might need our help with house maintenance, lawn care, those types of things, so we can provide those services outside of the church as well.
Hi, I'm Melody Hall, and along with Cindy Mattson, we are the new coordinators for 31 Gifts. This is a women's ministry on the second Sunday of each month from 2:30 to 4:30. If you want to get to know the women in the church and have some new friends, it's a very casual, fun time, and we make crafts or something fun every month. And we'd love to have you join us if you're a woman.
Very good. Very good. So take a look at the people standing up here. If the Apostle Paul were writing a letter to us at First Church, he would say, now, these are people with gifts and skills who can equip the church to live a completely furnished life of faith. Okay, so after the service, which is only going to be a few more minutes, go and talk to them. You know, maybe you've never thought about being part of the greeter team or the member care team, but you know what? The member care team is purposeful in looking around on Sundays and seeing who's missing and then making phone calls to say, hey, we missed you. Are you doing okay? And maybe you don't like standing there greeting people, but you like being relational. So there's all sorts of different ways you can get involved. Just go say, hey, I've got this skill set. Could you use me? Okay? Because when we do that as a body of Christ, then we can become completely furnished, living out a life more like Christ. And that's ultimately what we are supposed to do, right? Okay, you guys go ahead and go sit down. Dine and Dashers, do you have an announcement?
I'd like to put on a coat before I go.
You want to put on a coat?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's
is that it?
Now? Yeah.
Well, we're going to send you out now here.
Okay.
How's that? Do you have any other announcements? No? You can tell we're really, really ready for this.
There is a slide with a map on it that should be coming up soonish. So we
I'm gonna
we
pretend.
Have maps here. Yep.
We're right. Good. The maps
that's
are right here.
We have printed maps.
It's a very
that's
small
fine.
Slide. Yeah. You can see it.
Yep, that's okay. So we are going to start here, head down Oak. Right there. Nope. Yeah, somewhere right through there. Kyle will be pointing people down Oak, and then I will be at the corner of Oak and Kiernan, pointing people down Kiernan to Kiernan and Cochran, where Zach is supposed to be, but he's downstairs with kids. Come on. So pick up your kids. So that he can get to that corner. And then at Glass, we'll turn and stop here at the church. If you need to turn around early, then go ahead and turn around early.
And the maps will be right out there on the Welcome Center cabinet, which on your way out, you need to take a look at that because it is beautiful. This is the first Sunday it is up. Melissa, thank you for putting that together. So I'm going to pray for the dashers.
Yeah.
And if you are dashing, you guys can go ahead and get up and leave after I say amen. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this group of people. Whether few or many that's going to go out, they're taking part in their complete furnishing of faith by asking for your eyes to see the neighborhood as you see it, by asking for your heart to see the neighborhood as you feel it, by asking for, God, your vision for what you want us as a church to do and to be for this geographical neighborhood where we're at. I pray for safety as they walk. I pray for an in-tuneness with your spirit. I pray for joy, and I look forward, Lord, to what you're going to do in and through this walk. And God, as we as a church recognize that we are full of people with gifts and skills that can build up your body, that can grow your church, that can push each other to be church for our neighbors, I ask that you'd give us courage to use those gifts, God, so that we can get closer and closer to this desire you have for us to be completely furnished in our faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're dining and dashing, you guys go ahead and go. Everybody else, go ahead and stand up. I think we've got a couple of more worship songs.